Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, this is the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. This is actually the real Michael Rapaport here. I'm in here with my man, 2015 Podcast Co-host of the Year. His name is G. Moody. Last in Rhymes with Duty. I'm a little bit upset. If you listen to the show, you'll remember this 2014. There was a guy in Massapequa, Long Island. Okay, if you're not from New York City, Massapequa is a suburb of the city. Long Island is a suburb of the city. At the time, a guy, 41-year-old guy named Michael fucking Rapaport. Yeah, it's his real name, same spelling, blonde hair, same eye coloring, same skin tone. A guy named Michael fucking Rapaport attempted to pay for yogurt with counterfeit bills. Okay, I went after this fucking guy, and he had got arrested. He was charged with 15 counts of criminal possession. I thought this fucking guy, this phony $20 bill-having Michael Rapaport in Massapequa, was gone, and he was done. Well, he's not. He's fucking back. Earlier today, a Google alert came. My lawyer sends me a Google alert because, you know, he's my lawyer. So anything good, bad, or indifferent, usually it's good or indifferent, pops up. He goes, what the fuck? This isn't you, right? I go, no, it's not fucking me. Well, this fucking kingpin of Long Island, Michael Rapaport, who's now 43, it's the same fucking guy. There can't be three of them. He was arrested on charges of selling heroin, crack cocaine. I didn't even know they still had crack, G.
Yeah.
People are selling crack again?
Yeah, man, that's the lower end. You can't get the pills and the cough syrup. You go down to the dollar store. You can get crack at the dollar store now.
This fucking guy, now he's in Baldwin, Long Island, which is right near where the producer of the show, Jordan Winter, grew up, a couple of towns over. See, this is Long Island. It's a suburb. There's towns. Manhattan, there's boroughs. If you've never been to the city, I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Yeah.
My mother's from Lawrence, Long Island. Same part of Long Island that Henry Hill's wife was from in the great movie Goodfellas. Anyway, this fucking guy, Michael Rapaport of Lancaster Avenue, same name, spelling, Same blonde hair. I mean, he's not as good looking as me. I mean, you could say what you want to say about this kingpin. He's selling that heroin, crack cocaine, and he has more counterfeit $20 bills. Now, I just want to say something. If I had been arrested the first time on these charges, G. Moody, don't you think they would have locked me up and thrown the fucking key away? I would have never gotten out.
Yep.
I feel like if I did anything wrong, like they're gonna send me to fucking Sing Sing. This cocksucker, 2 years ago, he was arrested for trying to buy some yogurt. Why don't you just, Michael Rappaport, a Massapequa, Long Island, why don't you, if you want some fucking yogurt, hit me up. I'll PayPal you to $5.63. I'll buy you the fucking yogurt. Keep my name out of the fucking papers. I got enough fucking problems. Okay, I'm at work. I don't need this shit. Now this guy, there's a full investigation. Apparently, this guy's some sort of fucking kingpin. He's being held on $200,000 bond, $100,000 cash bail, following an arraignment in the District of Hempstead, another part of Long Island. I mean, what do I got to do to get a clean slate here, Moody?
Man, I don't know, man.
You don't have any sympathy for me. So what if there was a fucking G. Moody, last name rhymes with Duty, running around doing dumb shit? Then you'd be all up in arms. But there's a Michael Rappaport 30 minutes from where I live in Manhattan. Nothing from you. Nothing.
He don't got your social security number and all that. You all right, man.
All right. I'm going to jump into some sick fucks. I want to have a sick fuck of the week off with you. There's so many of them. And before we get into this podcast, which is going to be a doozy, I could feel it. There's so many sick fucks, I'm just going to rattle them off. Okay, Miles, just cue the music one time.
This award is earned, not given. It's called the Sick Fuck of the Week. This guy's really sick. Lock him up.
How could you do it?
Don't let him out.
Damn. You fucked the dog?
You what?
You fucked the dog? Why would you fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog?
What? Sick fuck.
The Sick Fuck of the Week. It's earned.
Earned.
Not given.
You did.
What?
No. No.
No.
Okay, if you never listened to the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, the Sick Fuck of the Week is an award that's earned, not given. It's earned, not given. I want to give a shout out, by the way, speaking of sick fucks, to the hair and makeup trailer on the Netflix show that I'm working on with the fantastic Jennifer Jason Leigh. They have the privilege of making me look like $1 million, and they're new listeners to the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast. So I want to give a shout out to all four of the ladies in there. I had to check to see if they were comfortable in this day and age with me calling them ladies, because you know you could call grown ass women ladies, and next thing you know, human resources will be on your ass. So I want to give a shout out to all four of them. You never know.
Yep.
All right, sick fuck of the week. You ready, Moody? I got a few of them. I'm gonna throw them in. I want to see if you could top me. It's gonna be like poker here. A Georgia couple who once demanded $550 million for being quote unquote falsely imprisoned have fucked up. A former Georgia Tech linebacker and his wife were sentenced to 20 years in the clink for locking their son in the basement for 18 months. These sick fucks. These people tried to sue the state for $540 million and they treat their kids like that. The couple will not be allowed to interact with their sons. They already have a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old until they're over 21. It's two of them. Usually it's one or another. We either got a man or a woman. Now we got a couple of sick fucks.
Oh, man. Now, I got one for you right here.
Go ahead. I'll see what you got.
A Detroit man driving while watching porn on his phone. Oh. Decided to choke his chicken while driving.
Yeah, and?
He reaches orgasm, and of course he loses control of the car.
The car
flips over. The sex fiend is ejected and dies with his loaf in his hand.
Dumb fuck. Dumb sick fuck. Tragic ending to a sick fuck's life. I'm going to top
Clifford
you with
Clifford Ray.
Huh?
His name is Clifford Ray.
Shit. 17-year-old girl could face life behind bars. A 17-year-old girl. She tried to rape a young man at knife point. I don't understand what's going on. I never heard no shit like this.
She tried to rape?
She tried to rape Duke at knife point. I'm sure if she had just, you know, came at him with a little bit of sugar and, like, just said, yo, I'm trying to freak off, none of this would have went down.
Yeah, you don't need no knife to rape a guy.
Yeah, you're a young girl, attractive-looking girl, 17.
All you got to do is say, pull your pants down.
Yeah, and if this guy doesn't want it, trust me, there's somebody else in line that's ready to, you know, freak off. It never stops.
Oh man. That guy probably was like, put the knife down.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm looking for a good time too.
No need for the violence.
Nah, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Let me hit it from behind.
Yeah, I don't need the knife. You're making me nervous. I can't perform here. This isn't a sick fuck, but this has to do with the All Loaves Matter campaign. All Loaves Matter. All Loaves Matter. There's a gentleman who's trying to start a small dick acceptance movement. Let me tell you something. If you got a micro dick or you got a straight pipe, let me tell you something. What's the song by, was it Clarence Williams or Clarence Carter G? Clarence Williams, Stroking?
I be stroking.
Yo, it ain't about, listen, you obviously you want something good to work with, but if your stroke game is insane, you should be okay. This guy wrote a poem called My Small Penis. My man, nobody wants to hear about this. He wrote this poem. It goes, I have a tiny cock, look like a crooked little finger. Everybody else's dick is inevitably a little bit bigger. If 6 inch as an average can truly be believed, someone here in this room is twice the size of me. Duke, I'm not reading your poem. No, yeah. Nobody's down with your movement. You need to get your fuck style up.
Yeah. But he can't do nothing. His whole crew is micro penis. So he's trying to show, like, yo, I know we all got the micro, so let's just stick together and poke fun at ourselves.
But you're not going to get no ass like that. No women are coming. Because I just want to give a message to this dude. The way you carry yourself, this dude's name is Ant Smith. And if you get your whole sex game down correctly, you won't be writing
bullshit
poems.
He can't do shit with that.
Huh?
He can't do shit with that. Cut your shit off, Duke, and become a eunuch.
What do you want him to do with it?
He can't. Cut his shit off and become a eunuch.
You're talking about, listen, all loaves matter. Don't tell him to do that.
No.
You don't know what kind of vulnerability this guy has going on right now.
No, he said he's 3 inches. You can't satisfy no woman with that. You got to become a eunuch.
Well, what do you want him to do?
Cut his shit off.
All right. Okay, listen. Speaking of all loaves matter, a jilted girlfriend blindfolds her lover, slices off his penis with a sickle, which is like a kind of knife
that
thing,
Russian
like the kind
shit.
Of shit you do like, you know, like
that
arts
Russian
and crafts
shit.
With. She ran down the street with his loaf after cutting it off.
Like a relay race.
He was sleeping with other women. Sweetheart, let me tell you something. There's plenty of fishes in the sea. I know it hurts, but you're taking things too far, miss. This is not okay. This is not cool. This is not fair. He didn't deserve that. I know it hurts. I get it. I support you. We support you here at the Iron Rappaport Stereo Podcast, but you can't do a hatchet job on Duke. Now, you're never going to be with another man. My man doesn't have a loaf. Everybody's losing here.
Yeah, and it can't be reattached. I know what you're talking about. This happened in India, and it was because he wifed who they picked out for him to marry. Because, you know, in India, they pick out, you 5 years old, you're going to marry this motherfucker, and that's it.
This is another thing I wanted to ask you about, because you're a landlord, as people know. I wanted to see if you were ever on this shit. Pretty girl. This is a pretty girl. You can look it up. She's pretty. I think her name is Anesthesia. Some kind of fucked up name. I don't know. Moncrief, pretty looking like, you know, volleyball playing looking white chick, fatally shot her tenant because he didn't pay his rent. Philly chick.
Wow.
Now, you've had tenant disputes, Mr. Moody. We've documented them here on the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Have you ever thought about pulling out that steel and putting two in somebody's ass for not paying the rent?
No. Because I know how volatile a situation can get. I know how the tenants don't really understand how finance works, how keeping things on and, you know, heat and whatever. So I don't deal with them like that or at that level, man. I don't let it, you know, I know how it is.
All right, Moody. Let's jump into this podcast. We're going to get into it all. We're going to have Eli Lake. I don't know if he's the official or unofficial political correspondent of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. But this is Michael Rapport. We're going to play some funk. We're going to get into it right now. All right, I'm going to be honest. I'm not a cook, but Blue Apron has changed all of that for me. Blue Apron is a simple and affordable way to eat right and eat healthy at home. And when I say affordable, I mean affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You get to choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. It's so easy. Each meal comes with step-by-step, easy to follow. And when I say easy to follow, if I could do it, anybody could do it. Easy to follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they will make it right. A couple of days ago, I had a piece of chicken with some vegetables. I swear to God, it was like a five-star meal in France, okay? They got upcoming meals. They got a cashew chicken stir fry with tango mandarins and jasmine sauce, roasted pork. I was actually able to pull together a fantastic Blue Apron meal for my wife the other day. My kids love it. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Again, if I could do it, anybody could do it. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting more sustainable food system, setting the highest standard for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/Rappaport. That's blueapron.com/Rappaport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, coming live and direct from the Gloom Tomb Studio, the exclusive studio of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. My name is Michael Rapport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. White Mike, a.k.a. Mr. White Folks. that's my patent sniff. I've been doing that since 1982, 83.
I think you stole that from my man D. Trump.
I don't think you should spread rumors like that. I would like you to retract that and keep it real right now, please. Those kinds of rumors, and these are sensitive times. Please retract that.
He's 70 years old.
Excuse me?
He's 70 years old. You must have copied.
Okay, so just as far as you know, how long have I been sniffing?
Not as long as D. Trump's.
Okay, but how long have you heard him sniffing since you've heard me sniffing? You want to be fucking difficult in here? Please answer the question, sir.
I think you may have. You got it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The person you heard breaking my balls so early in this podcast, which I expect to be a classic.
A dandy.
That's Mr. Moody. Last name... It rhymes with duty. G. Moody, Gerald Moody, G. Monetti.
Yes.
The 2015-2016 podcast co-host of the year. Yes, that's true. Can't deny it. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I think we're going to go a little bit longer than I usually like to go. That's what she said. But there's so much things going on across the board in sports, entertainment,
politics and in the just the zeitgeist of things that get us going here at the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. We're going to have the unofficial political correspondent Eli Lake join us. Me and Moody are going to call him, ask him some questions about what is going on in the world with the immigration ban. I just want to say I've broken a lot of my rules. Rule number one of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast is no fact-checking. But in order to be a no fact-checking pioneer in this day and age, you must do some fact-checking first. It's like riding a bike. You can't just start riding a bike with no hands. Okay, so I encourage some fact-checking during this time. I'm breaking rule number one of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, which is no fact-checking at all. When we do record the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, we do not fact-check. But you have to be a lunatic to go completely raw dog without a bag in this day and age. Do you agree, Mr. Moody?
I agree. I think we have a lot of liars out there, and we have to search for the truth sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't think you're ever going to have the complete truth because there's so much information. There's so many sources of information. But I think if you do enough searching and enough fact-checking, again, I am acknowledging breaking rule number one of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, you'll come up with a gut instinct, which will tell you what's right and what's wrong. First of all, I want to congratulate everybody who was involved with the BET New Edition film.
Yes, that was really good, man.
Over 19 million, I think it's 20 million people watched the three-day miniseries that I had the pleasure of being involved in. Shout out to BET, Robbie Reed, my man Chris Robinson, his son, the writer Abdul, producer Jesse. There's so many people to name. I'm not going to do the whole list of people. But I'm proud of the film. I'm so happy it was a huge success. New Edition, as we talked about, was such a cultural phenomenon when they came on the scene. And it was really a no-brainer for me to be a part of it. But nobody, I think, could tell that it was going to turn out to be like the fucking hit that it turned out to be. It was a humongous hit, critically, and the people loved it. Twitter loved it, and it sort of like brought people together over. It was weird being a part of it. Like people were like, I never was a part of something that, like, you know, Twitter was so emotionally invested in. And like during the commercial breaks, people were just, I like this. I hate this. He's a good character. He's a bad character. These kids are killing it. Mike Rapp, you're a scumbag. I played the manager in the cheap suit who took them for everything they had. And did it with pride and joy. Every group that has to go through success, especially in that time, I think people have figured out the playbook. I hope they have. Had some hook-nosed Jewish manager that was going to drain them and gouge them and
drag them through the coals
for everything they had. So I'm really proud of the film, and I'm glad people loved it. And if you haven't seen it, it's on VET, and you know there's plenty of different ways to watch it. I don't need to explain these things to you guys. You're way more digitally savvy than I am, but I'm pretty digitally savvy. Second of all, Mr. Moody, as I get this podcast going, I am in full cashmere. I have a cashmere hoodie, black, with black cashmere sweatpants. It's that time of year, cashmere season. I feel good. I feel relaxed. I'm not as like G Moody is a straight shit stained drawers, dirty socks type of guy.
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry.
Retract that statement. I'm not.
Okay, well then you fucking say who you heard the sniff from first right now, my friend, because I resent it from the beginning of the podcast. Who did you actually hear sniff first?
I think it was you. But I have to say, if he's 70 years old, he just didn't start sniffing.
I get that. But he didn't start. He wasn't sniffing in the 90s when he was just a mogul business tycoon. Fuck. I didn't hear him sniffing then, did you? Only time I heard him sniffing was when he got into politics. Like Andrew Dice Clay said, This fucking guy stole my act, and next thing you know, he's the president of the United States. How do I know he doesn't listen to this podcast? Who knows?
Right.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Okay. No. G. Moody doesn't have shit-stained drawers.
Yeah, yeah.
That came out of a place of resentment. And of course, he doesn't have holes in his socks.
Yeah, come on, B.
But you don't have a pair of cashmere sweatpants because you're not that type of dude. I feel like it's an indulgence. I pampered myself with these cashmere sweatpants and this cashmere hoodie. I have mixed feelings about it, but I do enjoy lounging around in my cashmere sweatpants, my cashmere hoodie, especially when you're about to break shit down, like we're about to break shit down on this here I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. I'll let you take the floor on this first thing. Serena Williams, the beautiful, beautiful Serena Williams, defeated her just as beautiful sister, Venus Williams,
yeah,
to win her 23rd title in the Australian Open. Just think about this, and then I want to hear your take on this. Serena Williams from Compton beat, yes, her older sister, Venus Williams, also from Compton, not the epicenter of tennis players in the world.
No, handball players.
They played in the Australian Open finals. Serena Williams, Compton. Venus Williams, Compton. Their sisters, Serena Williams, won her 23rd Grand Slam. That is some of the most way out, unbelievable sports shit that I think you're ever going to hear. I don't think there's ever going to be a story that is as far out and as unbelievable. Talk about a fairy tale as the Williams, yeah, sisters.
Yep.
We've talked many, many times about the Williams sisters. Monetti, you termed, yes, the phrase smash mouth tennis.
Yeah.
What did it mean to you as a Serena Williams and Venus Williams, as a Williams sisters fan, to see her win her 23rd Grand Slam title?
Surpassing, I think, Steffi Graf. For me, it's a culmination of these two girls, and Serena in particular. Serena Williams is the best tennis player, women's tennis player of all time. And here's why.
And I just want to chime in. Venus is top five.
Yes.
If not for the injuries, we'd be arguing which one of them is one and two.
Right. So to come from that environment, you know what I'm saying? And to get to that level and not their father teaching them tennis and them not and him not knowing tennis, that's a lot of hurdles to get over. And then to have the actual talent to dominate the competition like no one has ever done, this is the best, and no one is going to surpass that unless you come from those same backgrounds and do exactly what she did and break her records.
I don't see it happening because the big thing that Serena has is the good fortune, and this is just the way the chips are lined up. There's been no, yeah, major injury that's kept her out for a long, long period of time, and when she's had her injuries, she's come back and there's been no hiccup. You know, some athletes, they get like Venus never came back from the injuries and was quite the same. You know, she had, right, serious stuff going on. Serena's had injuries, but she's come back. I mean, the year that she was robbed for athlete of the year, female athlete of the year, I think it was, by Ronda Rousey, previously she had so many injuries. Congratulations to the Williams sister. I would put either one of them or Richard, open invite to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. We love you. We support you wholeheartedly. I hope she kicks ass this year and goes for the round robin.
Yep.
I'm jealous that she's engaged. I'm a happily married man. But Serena, maybe in another lifetime, who knows? I don't know. These things could happen. They may not happen. But anybody that says anything derogatory about the way she looks, you're a shitbag, you're a hater, and I could pretty much guarantee that your fuck style is not buck wild. That being said, I don't know. We could talk about the. Let's just listen. We're not gonna regurgitate all the Trump shit and the Muslim ban. I will tell you some facts. Trump issued an executive order last Wednesday calling the immediate construction of a physical wall on the southern border. Trump says that Mexico will pay for the wall. The president of Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto, I know I'm not saying it correctly, no disrespect to my Latino listeners, do the best with the accent. I do the best speaking English the way I speak it. Please don't judge the way I said the president of Mexico's name. They were supposed to have a meeting Tuesday because Trump said they will pay for it. El Presidente said, fuck you. And then Trump tweeted that if Mexico won't pay for the wall, they should cancel the meeting. El Presidente of Mexico said, we canceled the meeting, asshole. I'm glad. He's got this guy, Steve Bannon, 2017's most famous white person with absolutely no lips. Keels, right. Please send this guy Sloppy Steve Bannon. We're starting a Twitter site called Sloppy Steve. This guy makes me look like a fucking fashion icon, dresses like a homeless person that escaped a methadone clinic. Sloppy Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
He's Trump's chief strategist. He's lashing out at the media, calling the press, saying they should shut the fuck up. They should be embarrassed and humiliated. No, you shut up, Steve Bannon. You sloppy, no-lip, having animal, you. He's given this guy all sorts of promotions, jobs that military people, I don't know what kind of relationship they have.
Right.
Hashtag golden shower. And, of course, the U.S. refugee ban. This is just a short version of it.
For 90 days.
The order included a 120-day suspension of U.S. refugee admissions. We have questioned the reason for the protests and all this stuff. I want to say I'm happy and proud. I support the protesters. The protesters are getting shit done. The protesters are affecting Trump. They're protesting LA. They're protesting all over the world again, once again. And put your protesting seatbelts on, people.
But what is the protest about?
Yo, come on, G, you're not asking. The protest, this particular protest is about this guy is trying to keep refugees, trying to keep people out of this country. You know what it's about.
They said it's not a Muslim ban. This is hysteria.
What is it, G Monetti?
He told you what it was.
Go ahead. What is it?
To tighten up the vetting of the system, and it's a campaign promise that he's fulfilling. And it's temporary. It's temporary. It's not permanent. And refugees can come, and they will come. He can't keep out refugees. This is why they won the stay. You know what I'm saying? So, yo, this is hysteria, B.
The acting attorney general said, fuck you. Said, fuck his ban on refugees. They're not letting this shit go. It wasn't planned out. It was pre-cooked. And it caused mass chaos. It caused mass chaos. And I know all of this, and we can sit here and argue this, and Eli Lake will break it down.
It says about immigration and... So everybody's Mr. Muslim now. Everybody's like, oh, don't block these people. Yo, some of these countries are on the list of being countries that are hostile to the United States. And he just took it a step further and said, yo, right now, for 90 days, these countries can't come in.
This person, I won't even try to pronounce the name. It would be a disservice for me to try to pronounce the name. Basically said, fuck you to Trump. Everybody is saying, fuck you to Trump. Nobody is supporting him except for G. Monetti.
I'm not supporting him. The media is one-sided. They're just demonizing.
But if you say the media is one-sided, for what reason? Do you think the reporters and these people, they're all dumb? And that all these people are on some sort of payroll? There's no payroll.
I'm not saying, I'm saying it's supposed to be balanced journalism. These guys are giving us,
you'll
these
get
guys
balanced.
Are giving
Turn,
us.
I suggest you listen to all of his shit. CNBC, Fox, CNN, flip the channels around.
I do. Fox is to the right and everything else is to the left. That's what it is. Everything else is left, left, left. So this is why Trump is going at the media. This is why he does this.
He's trying to persuade. He's not doing it just because he only goes at the media. He doesn't, like he said, the New York Times is shit. The New York Daily News is shit. Every paper is shit, but he doesn't say, read which one is great. Which one is perfect.
He thinks it's a little bent towards, you know, just attacking him because this same press didn't even think he was going to win. So, of course, he's going to get up there and say, fuck these guys. They didn't know anything. They don't know this country. This is what he's saying.
I can't even believe what I'm hearing, man. You support this shit. You think
I'm balanced.
The antagonist of it. What's balanced about it? Then you tell me what's good about what he's doing.
I never said anything was good. I'm just explaining it in an objective view. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to see what actually happened. What you know what I'm saying? Rather than all the hysteria, calm the fuck down. That's what I'm saying. What the fuck he's gonna do?
He's doing it.
It's a new administration.
Yo,
they always come in and cut shit.
He's actually doing it. And people are like, he said he was gonna do it. And now it's like, oh shit, he's really doing it. And well, none of it's good. None of it is good. Not one part of it is good. The North Dakota pipeline, no good.
Right.
This is no good. So yeah, so far he's keeping his word. He not build. There's no fucking wall coming. I guarantee you. Here, mark my. You're Mr. Prediction.
Okay.
There ain't no wall coming. He already knows the politics, pros, cons, and everything in between of that wall. He knew it beforehand. He knew Mexico wasn't doing it. This was a selling point. Mark my words, there is no wall coming. There will be no wall during his four-year tenure. If he makes it that far, there is no wall coming, and he already knew that. He sold a bunch of bullshit with that wall shit, and now he's trying to say, this guy is no fuck. Listen, you could say what you want about Trump, his ego, he's so this, he's so, that guy's not dumb. He's trying to keep the people that voted for him happy. And they're going to shut down all the bullshit that he does because what he's doing, yo, fuck the taxes and these rich people that are like, yo, well, the taxes, fuck that. I have a couple of bucks. I don't give a fuck about the taxes. Morally, what he's doing is not right. Constitutionally, what he's doing is not right. If it saves me a buck, yo, I'm not with it. I don't want it. I don't want the buck to be saved. I can't sleep at night. People are freaked out, and they have reason. This isn't fear-monger shit. It's really happening. This isn't like, well, what if? It's going down for real, like the fucking song says. He's doing it for real. And all the shit, the sentiment that he kicked. My Facebook page is filled with filth. Every fucking day, I get all kind of filth. You end loving this. You should be ashamed of you fucking Jew this.
Yeah.
You support this. And this is just my, like, this is without the scumbums, the bottom feeders, the shit bags. They're coming out from, and they think it's their time to shine.
Yeah, that he stirred the pot. And of course, that was reprehensible. So, you know.
And I don't want to get into a political argument because we could do that for days. Eli will help break down some facts when he comes on. But hours after Trump signed the ban, a Texas mosque goes up in flames.
Yeah.
This is going to continue. This is going to continue. He's going to get impeached. And violence will ensue.
Yeah.
He's going to get impeached and violence will ensue at some fucking point. Even this guy, Mike Pence, with his homophobic and his lack of any sort of understanding, compassion for women's rights, and so on and so on. Even him, I know he's like morally, this is like, this isn't right. We are going to wish the Bushes were in office when this shit is done. We're going to be begging for them to come back. Forget Obama. Forget Bill Clinton. We're going to wish Bush was back when this shit is done. It's just unacceptable, man. Like, he got, it's not like fear, like people are running around in fear. It's really going down. It went down at JFK. You I'm in LA, you're in New York. You're right there.
Yeah, and everybody's telling, now everybody's let people in, and this is un-American.
Of course, you should vet people. Of course, there should be background checks. Of course, all that.
Of course, so now there's a new
administration. He's not talking about that, though.
Now there's a new administration who the president has promised that he would kind of overhaul the vetting system. And this is what he promised to his base that put him in office. So, of course, in the first couple of days, you're going to pander to them. And this is what's happening. So that's it.
Yo. That's he wasn't it. Talking about improving the vetting process. He was talking about shutting shit down. He wasn't talking about improving the vetting. He's talking about shutting shit down. My man who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, Thon Maker, rookie, refugee, here working, essentially.
Oh, he's in.
He's in Toronto when the shit went down. I guarantee you, if he wasn't a basketball player, they wouldn't have let him back in the country during the whole... I know that was some NBA shit. They were like, they let him through.
Once they got everything together, the guys with green cards and all that stuff could come in. It was a shocker to the world. I understand that, but that's why he did it. He's like, yo, it's a new sheriff in town. Reggie Hammond. Reggie Hammond is the fucking president.
Listen, you know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to call Eli Lake to break this shit down. And I want you to ask him some questions, and I'm going to ask him some questions too. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. We'll be right back with the unofficial, official political correspondent of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast from Bloomberg News, Mr. Eli Lake. The I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress, an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. You could try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you do not love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. With over 20,000 reviews online and an average of 4.8 stars, Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. They have sheets. They have pillows. They even have doggy beds. Go to Casper.com. Save $50 towards any mattress purchased by visiting www.casper.com/Rappaport. Use the promo code Rappaport. Try a Casper mattress 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Go to www.casper.com/Rappaport.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, this is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Right now, we have the... I forget what it is. Are you the unofficial, official political correspondent or the official unofficial political correspondent of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast?
It's the official
podcast.
Unofficial.
Okay. All right. We have Eli Lake, who works at Bloomberg News. Eli, just for the people that have never heard you on the episodes before, because we have new listeners all the time, just real quickly, what do you do for a living at Bloomberg?
I'm a columnist for Bloomberg in what's called Bloomberg View, and I get syndicated in a lot of newspapers, and I write about politics and national security.
All right. Now, me and Moody have just been arguing fact-checklessly about the political ban. I'm sorry, about the refugee ban that Trump laid down. In a nutshell... Now, do you want to start with the first question? Because you said it was for 90 days. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to let you talk real quick. G. I'm going to let Eli to break it down. Eli, in layman's terms, what happened in the last 72 hours with President Trump? I can't believe that I'm saying that, but I give the respect where the respect is earned, I think.
All right. It was a lot of things at once, and it was confusing, and I understand why a lot of people, because and the Trump White House did a terrible job of getting the documents to reporters and explaining it in a coherent way. But we now know what happened. The most dramatic thing was that Trump stopped all travel from Iraqis, Nigerians, Sudanese, seven Muslim majority countries. He suspended any migration into America from people who had valid visas to travel here. And that has caused enormous disruptions. And in the first 48 hours over the weekend, it appeared to apply to people who are permanent residents in the United States, which means they have a green card. They live here, but they're not U.S. citizens. But to get a green card requires an enormous amount of vetting. No one ever said that those people are sleeper cell terrorists any more than American citizens who go online and become ISIS or something like that. So that's that.
Wait, let me back up. When you said it appeared to affect them, what do you mean by that?
Well, because this was done in an unprecedented and haphazard way without proper legal vetting or input from the Department of Homeland Security, the State Department, the Justice Department, or the rest of the U.S. government, what ended up happening was that individual border control agents of airports interpreted it to mean that if you had a green card, they had to sort of suspend your status in some way, and that if you traveled with a green card, which means you're a permanent resident, you're basically, you pay taxes, you're almost an American citizen. I don't think you get to vote, but, you know, that those people live here. So it meant that people who were traveling back into the United States who had green card for a period of time over the weekend were told that they couldn't come back into the country. And that's not the same as somebody who's on a business trip. That's somebody who can't feed their cat because they live in, you know, Detroit or something. You know, it was a real mess.
This is like regular Joe Schmo with a green card who lives in New Jersey, who's been living here, who's got a family, who's been living here for years, as well as people that just got here.
Well, right. It's very hard to get a green card. If you're a green card, you live here. So let me just say, it looks now on Monday that they've walked that back. The Department of Homeland Security said it does not apply to the green card, but it's still somewhat confusing. But that was the really dramatic thing. But even if you just have a visa to come to the United States, that already went through a process. And, you know, there are lots of people who visit the country all the time. Now, all that said, under Obama, there was more scrutiny to people traveling from places like Syria or Iraq. I think Sudan, I forget all the other countries, but there was this kind of more scrutiny, but they didn't shut down any travel. That's the difference. And that's what Trump did that was so dramatic.
Okay. And how is this going to be rectified? What has been the blowback? Where do we go from here? And I don't know if you heard this, because I think it might have just literally happened. Trump fires.
Yep.
So break that down. He fired the Attorney General, Sally Yates, for refusing to enforce a legal order. So I just asked you a bunch of shit. You could just riff and break all that down as you please.
There's another thing that it did so the dramatic thing that everybody saw in the airports was what I just described about shutting down the travel for those seven countries. In addition to that, he said that there would be no more refugees indefinitely from Syria. And that means that people who had already been approved to resettle in the United States, their status is unclear. It looks like there's going to be a legal challenge, which will get into what you just talked about with Trump firing the acting attorney general. And then finally, there was a redefinition of when we do let in refugees, the considerations that we should look at, which was that if you're suffering religious persecution and you're a religious minority, then you should get a priority treatment. Which, by the way, is part of it that I don't object to in principle. Now, what happened as soon as this comes out, and as soon as we saw people not being allowed to come into the country, a number of lawyers, mainly from the American Civil Liberties Union, began challenging this executive order, saying it was unconstitutional. And a judge in Brooklyn said that, at least I think when it applies to green card holders, that there was a stay before, so the courts could look at this. So there was a part of the executive order that was sort of, they halted for the time being. And this brings us to the Justice Department, because that means there are a number of challenges to this executive order in court, and the Justice Department is the government's lawyer. And so the acting head of the Justice Department, because Jeff Sessions, who's Trump's pick to be the Attorney General, has not yet been approved by the Senate, said that she would not defend in court the constitutionality of this executive order. And then Trump fired her.
She was the acting Attorney General. She had no power anyway.
She was Obama's Deputy Attorney General. That's correct.
She was a lame duck in there.
She was going to leave anyway.
So who's going to replace her and when?
Well, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but any day now, Jeff Sessions, who is Trump's pick to be the Attorney General, is expected to be approved, and then there will be Trump's Attorney General, who I'm sure will enforce this executive order. So it's not quite like the constitutional crisis during Watergate, when Nixon fired, his, I think, two Attorney Generals in the space of 24 hours. This is more, you know, kind of another remnant, but it is a significant protest that, you know, the acting head of the Justice Department, a Democrat appointed by Obama, but still saying, you know, they feel so strongly that they can't in good conscience defend it in court, which may have some bearing on how judges view this down the road. Though a lot of legal experts, I should say, argue that Trump has an enormous amount of authority to do this kind of thing when it comes to letting people into the country. I mean, it's been supported by courts for many times. The executive is very strong in this regard.
Now, in the most totally unbiased way possible, what are the chances of a refugee killing, doing some destruction in this country? Like, of all the terrible acts, the Dylann Roofs, the Sandy Hooks, and I don't mean to demean any of it, of all the Orlando shooting, the Boston, all the horrible mass murders that have happened, and you may or may not know the details on it. How many of these mass murders that have happened in this country, in the United States, and obviously I know they've happened in other countries, and it has been connected to ISIS, and everybody's on the same page. Nobody wants anything to do with any of those fucking ISIS people. Out of all the events that have happened here, aside from 9/11, do you know, can you tell me, can you shed light, can you articulate how many of them have been put on these people that are going to potentially be banned, that have actually happened on refugees coming into the country?
So that's a great, this is the key issue here, which is, if you are a refugee, it means you're fleeing persecution. You're fleeing a situation where we take you in because of our values as a country that's, you know, of immigrants, and when we welcome people who are fleeing persecution. Now, in order to get to that, it takes 2-3 years. If you were a terrorist, there are much easier ways to try to get into the country than through our refugee program.
Right.
Now, what I think happened with Donald Trump, because it's hard for him to focus, is that he is confusing the situation in Europe, where there were hundreds of thousands of people who showed up in Greece and were trying to, were, you know, running for their lives, and those people could not be vetted. So Germany took in something like 100,000 people in 2016, which is a lot for a country that size, and there's no way they could have vetted that numbers of people. But we're talking about, or I think it's actually more, I'm sorry, it's like almost a million, or it's an enormous number of people that Germany took in, and the Europeans are facing a tide of people who are coming from Turkey and sailing through the Mediterranean, and it's a very different problem because of the numbers. The number of people who actually come to the United States has been in the thousands, and Obama tried to say he wanted to take 100,000 in, but there was a surge in some way of taking them in, but we're the last stop on this journey. So we are the place of settlement in America, and that process is much different than just, you know, trying to apply. It's very hard to get that, is what I'm trying to say. So it's the chances of a refugee being a terrorist already are slim to none. But that said, if that family does not assimilate and they end up, you know, having a lot of problems in America, it is possible. We've seen a second generation kind of being alienated. They could be drawn to that. But, you could argue that that's the case for American citizens because,
right.
you know, ISIS has recruited non-Muslims too, who are, you know, sort of vulnerable online and want something to sort of make their lives dramatic fall for this terrible hate-filled ideology. But in terms of letting in actual terrorists, it's not a threat.
But these big mass killings that have taken place over the last, you know, decade, the Boston, you know,
right.
and Orlando and you know, the Dylan Roofs, the, you know, and the, how, do you know how many of them have been by actual quote unquote ISIS people, like legitimate ISIS people that are not from this country?
Well, in the case of the Tsarnaev brothers, we just think they were radicalized online. And that was really, they did this, I think, before ISIS really was when it was ISIS was just getting started as an international organization. So in the case of San Bernardino, that couple, and we need to, there's a lot we need to still know about that case, but that couple, they were first generation immigrants into this country. And she, I think, was from Pakistan. I think he was from Pakistan. She was from Saudi Arabia. Those are two countries, by the way, that are not on this list of countries that we did. And then Afghanistan, Omar Mateen, who did Orlando, was the son of an Afghan immigrant who was in at one point the Afghan government. And he himself, you know, wasn't really a member of ISIS. He was, I think, you know, he was he couldn't deal with the fact that he was gay. And I think
right.
that led him into a radical direction. And then he did it in the name of ISIS, and ISIS took credit for it. But again, it wasn't like he was coming from the training camp and given instructions to put a cell together.
I got you.
Well, could I ask one?
Please do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please do. Because wait. Eli, my man G. Moody, the 2015-2016 podcast co-host of the year, I feel like he's fucking lost his shit this episode. Please ask a question.
My question is, what is so wrong with a new administration kind of overhauling the doing their vetting process and temporarily banning certain countries that were on the list from President Bush as the axis of evil? So these certain countries that Obama also outlined as being a bastion for harboring terrorists, Donald Trump just took it a step further and said, okay, we're going to ban everybody. It wasn't directed, I think, at refugees, because if you're fleeing persecution, you're supposed to get in. This is what America is about. So I'm saying those countries, what's wrong with kind of tightening up a little bit?
Well, there's nothing wrong with tightening up a bit. And the problem, I think there's two real big problems with what Trump did. The first is, he did it in this haphazard way where they announced the order. Nobody knew what it meant. And people who were like permanent residents in the United States who were never considered,
right.
you know what I'm saying? Those people had their lives disrupted. And people who had legitimate visas that had already been cleared who right. were like businessmen. I mean, I'm writing it. I mean, my column comes out tomorrow, but I'll give you an example. The woman who is the only Yazidi lawmaker in Iraq. And mm-hmm. she gave a famous speech in 2014. The Yazidis are this minority group that ISIS was committing genocide against in the Sinjar Mountains, where she says, in the name of, the, you know, allegiance to Allah, my people are being slaughtered. She is not an Islamic, radical Islamic terrorist. She's not an
right.
ISIS person. She's yet a victim of ISIS. She was supposed to receive the Tom Lantos Human Rights Award in Washington next week. And she can't come here because of this extreme measure from Trump that said no one can come in from those countries for the next
right.
90 days.
Right.
So if he would have just said, we're going to put a pause on processing visas, Moody, I'm with you. It should be tightened up. And the problem is the Democrats are being just as disingenuous because they're calling it a Muslim ban. It's not a Muslim ban.
It's not a Muslim ban. Yep.
That's the first thing. It's not a Muslim ban. And second of all, when they say, oh, it's great, I don't understand, these people are totally vetted, that goes against reality. Jim
yeah.
Comey, the director of the FBI, told Congress not even 5 months ago in congressional testimony that there were lots of problems, especially in Syria, because they don't have public records that we can check, so it's not a fail-safe program, although he thinks it's getting better. But he even acknowledges, James Clapper, the director, Obama's director of national intelligence, acknowledges there are a lot of problems in a place like Syria where the state is pretty much collapsed to do the kind of vetting you want to do with individuals, like check their criminal record and other things like that, that you would do in a normal situation. So in some cases, Trump is probably right, and he's well within his rights to change the approach to vetting and the procedure and all of that. The way that he did it, though, was so disruptive, and it gave the wrong impression, and it was just like it was amateur hour.
Right, absolutely.
And when you say it's not a Muslim ban...
Listen, the argument from the American Civil Liberties Union that it's a Muslim ban is that when all of these pieces are taken together, so you have seven countries that are Muslim majority, where we're going to stop any travel for 90 days. And then another part of it, which talks about refugee policy, which says give priority to religious minorities that are being religiously persecuted, but not the religious majorities in those countries. They say if you take that together, for those seven countries, it's a Muslim ban. But the refugee part, as I've been taught to experts in my reporting, is something that applies to overall refugee policy. So there's some countries where Muslims are the minority, and there's other countries where Christians are the minority. And, you know, that if there was, you know, if they're facing religious persecution, they should be eligible for refugee status, which is a long process and everything like that. I don't think the facts are with the critics who say it's a Muslim ban. And it's only if, I mean, the most important fact is that it doesn't apply to Saudi Arabia, which is, a you know, the center of Islam, or Egypt or other Muslim countries. And, you know, and so, but it is suspicious and troubling that the original version of this would apply to people who were already permanent residents in the United States. Are we trying to say that we don't like foreigners? Because, I mean, as I think we can all agree, the only Native Americans are the Iroquois and the Cherokee. I mean, we're all immigrants, right? I mean,
not me.
Right. Some of us came voluntarily and others came involuntarily.
Right. Exactly.
But right. I'm saying that. So, I mean, I was raised in Philadelphia, and I remember, you know, when I was a kid, there were Vietnamese boat people who moved like near our neighborhood, and then it was cool. But that's part of the American experience, as I see it. So that was really the fact that it was like that. That thing really did throw me for a loop. I was like, what? Why? Huh? Like, you know, those people should not be fucked with. That's in my view, and put into that conversation. And yet it was there. And, you know, that raises a lot of. And the other part of it is that Trump did in the campaign call for a Muslim ban. And then Rudy Giuliani was asked about this over the weekend on one of these Fox shows. And he said, well, he came to me and he said, make it legal. And so I gave him this. And that's, by the way, like, it's still not a Muslim ban because he's doing it by country. But Giuliani certainly tried to feed that impression. So in some way, I think Trump and Steve Bannon, who was the second most powerful guy in that White House, they want to have this fight right now with liberals. They want it to tell their base, look, we're getting attacked for doing common sense stuff to keep the country safe. And they don't really care what the New York Times says about them or the IAM Report podcast or anything like that.
Yes.
But it's bad for the country because it tells the rest of the world, it gives the impression that we have a problem with Muslims, which we don't.
Now you brought up Rudy Giuliani, who is the Secretary of Cyber. What is he?
So he's the head of some cyber commission that's going to look at changing our cyber policy,
which is like internet and all that sort of, you know, how we get like the whole cyber, how there's hacking and all that, right?
Well, that's like a super consolation prize.
Right. Now, I don't consider myself tech savvy, but I feel like this meatball stain on the tie, Rudy Giuliani, has no idea how to text. He doesn't know how to fucking email. I guarantee you this fucking guy doesn't know how to work a computer properly. Yet and still, he's the head of cybersecurity for our country. Now, I guarantee you he can't even set up his internet alone, but he's a security guy for everything that has to do with computers, cyber, hacking, China, Sony hacks, Jennifer Lawrence nude pictures. All this is on this meatball sauce on the chin, yellow teeth, crooked, old school mob-tied politician. Do you think this is an insane position for this? Or is it just like, you know, is it like when the Knicks kept Herb Williams around for years? Like, oh, we're just going to keep him around. It's just like, you know, he's cool. We all know crazy old Rudy. We're going to give him this job. Is this job serious? Because I guarantee you, this fucking guy doesn't know how to set up a modem in his house.
Yeah, it would be like if the Knicks passed over Mark Jackson, who I am agreeing with the I Am Rappaport podcast, would have been an ideal Knicks coach, and instead decided to make him the chairman of the New York Knicks Committee on Point Guards, which is nothing, right? I mean, it's kind of like Rudy Giuliani was maybe going to be the Secretary of State, which is a very important job, and he got bounced out of the box on that. And so as a consolation prize, Trump was like, hey, why don't you be the chairman of my Blue Ribbon Commission on Cybersecurity, which is just a way of kicking that can down the road. Because remember, he did that because people were talking about Russian hacking during the election, and it was like his response was like, I'm going to look at all the hacking. And oh, my God, I got it. And Rudy Giuliani is, of course, going to probably make sure that whatever report it says is exactly how Trump wants it. So it's a classic kind of political move. He kills two birds with one stone. He's got to disappoint Rudy Giuliani, who wanted to be the Secretary of State. So he gives him this job, and then he gets to sort of kick the can down the road on the Russian hacking stuff.
And is sloppy Steve Bannon the worst dressed man in political history?
Well, you got to come to Washington, Raph. I would love for Rudy and Raph to do like a DC event. That would be amazing.
Oh, we got to do it. We got. Listen, I'm no fashion icon. Okay, I'm never on the cover of any of these fashion things. Best dressed. I'm not even in the worst dressed. I'm not even considered in this. But this guy, Steve Bannon, he was in the White House with a pair of black stonewashed jeans on and like some kind of like karate shoes. Come on, man. Have some fucking respect for where you are.
And he says the media is the opposition party. And I think Trump feels like, what the hell is this media knows? No one predict I would win anything. So you like, that's his position towards the media.
That is his position to the media. But like, if he should, it's troubling that he doesn't have somebody in the room to tell him that you don't have to, you're not in the campaign anymore. Here's the thing that Trump's got to understand. He's going to be judged by his base and the American voters by what he can deliver on the things that he has promised. And it's the same for everyone else. So people are going to ask themselves in 4 years, am I better off than I was in 2016?
All right, Eli. Listen, I appreciate this phone call sincerely because I think that there's so much confusion and we're trying to give our two cents to educate ourselves and to educate the listeners and to have an opinion that brings some, makes some sense of this and help people sleep good at night. This is Eli Lake, the official, unofficial political correspondent of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. We shut down all the hipster trolls. We shut that shit down easily.
We shut it down.
You see, they ran back into their little fuckholes and their little coffee shops. We sent them in there real quick. I appreciate the information, Eli, and I'd love to have you back on soon. I'm sure it's going to be a busy...
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
It's going to be a busy 4 years for you.
Yo, Moody, thank you too, man. Co-host for Damas.
Yes, absolutely. Eli Lake, y'all.
Hey, can I just say one thing to the Rapid Pack?
Go ahead.
Or actually, I hope they have a way to do it on demand because I didn't catch it every night. But you need to see Michael Rapaport in the New Edition movie on BET.
I appreciate that. Eli, I'll talk to you soon.
As Bobby would say, you played like a world-class Ghana. That was fantastic.
Yes, yes. I wore that cheap suit fantastically, and I'm proud of it.
It was fantastic.
I'm going to send that shit to Sloppy Steve Bannon. It'll make him look good. Even a 1980s cheap suit is an upgrade for what this guy's wearing.
True. All right, man. Thank you so much.
All right, Eli. Thank you. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. I want to thank my man Eli Lake, the official, unofficial political correspondent of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Once again, I want to take back my statement by saying G. Moody has shit-stained underwear and holes in his socks. That was a coming out of a place of resentment because he tried to take away one of my defining moves, the sniff. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. We're coming back with more. The more hits, the merrier. The gruesome twosome. The Disco 2. Rocking since 1982. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Rate, review, give us that 5-star review on iTunes. They're still shitting. They're still not showing the love. Subscribe to the YouTube page. All right, we have a YouTube page, www.youtube.com/IAmRappaport. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, and we're out.